Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want to go to John chapter 8 tonight. All right. 8th chapter of John, if you have a Bible with you. John chapter 8. We'll start there. And what I'm going to share tonight, I honestly believe, and I really want you to get this tonight. It may not be long, I don't know. We'll just see how long we go. But I want to preface it with this, is I really believe that if you get tonight's message, it really has the power to change your life forever. Amen. Amen. I don't say that often, but I really believe that. Now, I over the years, I've listened to a minister over the years, and every time he does a new teaching, he said, "This has transformed my life. This has revolutionized my life." And you say that after every teaching. And one day I was thinking about that. Man, he is the king of hyperbole. But then it dawned on me, wait a minute, all the Word of God radically changes your life. So maybe he is telling the truth about it. Maybe I just need to step it up in my thinking a little bit here. But I really believe that this teaching tonight can really radically change your life. I'll just preface it with this also. I think about 90 to 95% of the body of Christ, they don't have this revelation that we're going to teach. Or they don't walk in this revelation. So here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about applying truth to facts. Now, what do we mean? Well, here's what we mean. There's such thing as facts. That means they're there. They're, if you want to say, a reality. They're not the reality. But then there's the truth. There could be the facts that you have this issue in your life, whether it be physical or spiritual or financial or mental or family or whatever, that could be a fact. But then there's the truth of God's Word, what God said about that situation. And that, and when you learn to apply the truth to the facts don't have much choice but to budge and get out of the way. Amen. That's actually how you got saved. You applied the truth of God's Word to the facts of your messed up life. Amen. And it changed your life, didn't it? It did mine. I mean, you know, when I got saved and it changed my life. And a lot of things began to change and began to, you know, be different. You know, like the Bible said, behold, all things have become new. Well, they had on the inside, but I began to see things on the outside begin to change and things to begin to fall off and begin to come new. But now let's go here and let's start at John chapter 8. You got it? Verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If," that's big, "you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, if you continue in the word." Hallelujah. You are my disciples. Now, how many know what a disciple is? A disciple is a disciplined one, a follower. Now, I used to think, well, how could a Christian do that? You know, you'd see Christians do that, or maybe like, you know, this week was election, you know, voting. And our primaries and all, and you'll see Christians, well, they vote for this candidate and that candidate. Yep, no, that candidate is very unrighteous and ungodly and, you know, supports things that the Bible doesn't support. And yet they say they're a Christian, and, you know, I'm not their judge. God's their judge. But I would think, well, how can a Christian do that? How can a Christian vote that way? And then, you know, I finally got the answer to that. Well, maybe a Christian can, but a disciple can't. Because once you start finding out the Word of God, it changes everything about you. It changes your worldview. Amen? You don't see things the way people see it any longer. You know what I'm saying? There's issues that become really big, you know, that maybe the world doesn't think of, or maybe carnal Christians don't think of, but you begin to think about those issues because they're big in the Word of God. Amen? And so Jesus said, "If you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples." I don't know about you. I don't want to just be a convert. I want to be a disciple. Amen. I want to follow on and grow and learn and walk in the good things that God has for me. Now, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth," everybody say the truth. "The truth shall make you free." What's going to make you free? The truth's going to make you free. Well, what's truth? You know, remember Pilate, you know, he said to Jesus, he said, what's truth? And then he didn't hang around for the answer. He took off. You know, Pilate, you know, he was trying to release Jesus, really. You know, Pilate's got less, you know, blood on his hands than some of the religious folks of the day did, because he wanted to set him free, you know, and they wouldn't hear of it. But Pilate said, what is truth? Well, you know, and then he walked out and went and told the Jews, said, I can't find anything wrong with this man. I find no fault in him. Let's let him go, you know. And they were like, no, man. And so, but what is the truth? Well, Jesus said the word's the truth. Amen? Amen. God's word's true. So now today we have a lot of versions of the truth. You know, people, like even today, you know, people like, everybody's an island to themselves of truth. What you think is truth for you. And what I think is truth for me. And so your truth may be different than my truth. And so we got a lot of truthy people going around. You know what I'm saying? Really, they're fruity people. But, you know, your truth is my, you know, how many ever heard that? You know, each one has their own truth. Well, listen, that's just opinion. That's not truth. Truth is concrete. Truth is solid. Amen. You know, that's just if you brought that over in the natural, it'd get you killed. You know, it's like, well, maybe gravity works for you, but I don't think it works for me. Well, it does. Because it's a law, right? So everybody that jumps off a building, you know, they go to the ground. Amen. I always remember, I've told this before, but that was always funny. Brother Cap said one time, he said, him and his brother decided that they were going to fly, they were going to build wings and fly down to their cousin's house. I think it was. And him and his brother Rex, and Charles said, he said, so we made wings out of cardboard, you know, and put them on our arms. Rex, his older brother, got to go first. So he got up on the barn and had those cardboard wings on, and Rex was going to jump off and fly down to their cousin's house, you know. And so Brother Cap said Rex jumped off and he immediately hit the ground. And Brother Cap said, well, why didn't you flap your wings? He said, I didn't have time. So he said, you know, you give them to me. Well, he got up there and guess what? The same thing happened to him. Because it's a law, right? So there's none of this, you know, well, you know, that's your truth, that's my truth. How many know the news media is not the truth? Politicians aren't the truth. Even some laws made in our country are not the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I said, Jesus said, I am the truth. He said, my word is truth. So this book right here is the truth. Not every religion's the truth. Amen. Not even every denomination is the truth. Not even everything sometimes we all believe is the truth. The word's the truth. And when it changes, when it adjusts, our thinking, then we just need to let it be adjusted. Amen? Right. But what I wanted you to see is Jesus said, you'll know the truth. If you continue in the word, you'll know the truth, and that truth will make you free. Amen. That truth will make you free. See, that's why the Apostle Paul, you'll find him in Ephesians and Colossians praying for the churches that they would get revelation. Why? Because you need to know, knowledge is, knowing the truth is of utmost importance to you. Amen. See, a lot of times people are trying to fight to get what they already have, if they just knew the truth. Amen. And so I want to talk about it. Now let's go to Mark chapter 11. Like I said, I may not go long at all tonight. I don't know. We'll just see. I'm not sure how much I have. But what I do have is of some substance. Is that all right? Amen. You know, sometimes you may have a lot and sometimes you may not have a lot, but that doesn't mean the substance is diminished at all. Amen. Now, so let's just go over here to Mark. And while you're going there, think about what Peter said in 2 Peter. He said that God's given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. Think about that. The divine nature. So what is he saying to us? Well, see, there's an application of the truth. When we apply the truth to the facts in our life, guess what? Those truths will begin to change those facts. Amen. Now, you know, I like something. You know, years ago, Brother Eddie was here, Willis, and he said something I've never forgotten. You know, and he was actually, we were in that other building over there on Vogel Road. But I remember him, you know, and he's pretty, he demonstrates, you know, and all. And he laid down on the platform. Was anybody there? I remember that service. He laid down on the platform. His feet were sticking up in the air. He said, "I don't care if my toes are pointed up in the air, I'm still healed. I don't care if I'm stretched out dead. My toes are pointed up in the air. I'm still healed because the Word of God says I am." Amen. See, that's what we're talking about. Regardless of what you're seeing in your life or what's happening in your life, there's something even greater in your life if you're a believer. That's the truth. Amen. And if you apply that to what's going on in your life, that'll change what's going on in your life. Amen. Are you with me now? Now, Jesus said, before we even go here to Mark, before we go there, let me deal with this because this is coming up in my spirit. See, you know, sometimes as a believer, you're going to go through some testing.
Come on now.
See, Peter talked about it. And you're going to find out whether your faith is genuine. Are you with me? You know, and I had someone say this to me. You know, they were going through some things, and all. But I can't remember exactly what they said. But they said something to me. You know, so sometimes they felt bad because they were going so many different things. I said, "Well, I was pretty impressed with your faith, to be honest with you. That going through all these things and you're still talking the Word of God. That's impressive to me." I said, "That's impressive to me." Amen. I said, "So maybe you feel that way, but I don't see that. What I see is somebody's fighting Amen. With the Word of God." Because sometimes we go through seasons of testing. Sometimes we go through seasons of warfare. It's hard to preach with all this shouting going on. Sometimes that's, you know, but God always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I remember the days this church went through some extreme warfare in the financial area. To the point, it looked like everything was going to have to go, including the pastor. You couldn't have bought a pencil without me getting on to you. Are you with me now? Some of you that, you know, that in these different areas that you want this and you want that and you want that and you want that, you wouldn't have got it in those days. You better be glad you're in these days, because in those days I'd have said, "No, no, 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 shut up, no, don't bring it up." But now I get to say, "Yes, yes, yes, let me think about it 2 days, okay, what for, yes." Are you with me now? But I'm going to tell you what, it didn't change overnight. But it took some applying the truth every service I was calling money in. Every week I'm calling money. I still do it today. I still do it today. But I just kept doing it, just kept sowing, just kept giving. A lot of people would have given this advice, "Stop giving." Well, I'm not taking your advice. No offense. Come on. I didn't mean that personal, okay? But I'm just using that generic. I'm not taking that advice. I'm going to take the Bible advice. The Bible says give and it'll be given unto you. I'm taking that advice. Why? Because that worked. And I told you before, you know, one time we were $15,000 behind. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole lot it maybe to you, but if you're 15 grand behind and you don't have it, that's a lot of money. Especially this was years ago. And we were $15,000 behind in the red. And I'm praying and talking to God about it, leaving the office at church, going home, driving down Oak Grove Road. And I'm just talking to God about it. And he said, I was going to preach somewhere that Sunday morning. He said, "I want you to give this church, give this pastor." And when he said pastor, I knew he meant the church. He said, "Give him $1,100. It'll bless him." Talking for the church, give it to him. Now, if I'd have had a board meeting right then and asked all the board members what they thought about it, hopefully they all said yes. But I have to say, hopefully they would have. Some might have thought, well, are you crazy? We're $15,000 and you want to give over 1,000 more away? But the truth. See, God gave me some truth. He said, sow that money, give it away. I just obeyed God. I gave it away. I did tell God, when he said it'll bless him, I said, well, bless us. We need it. I don't know that this pastor needs it, but, you know, most people can use it in ministry, right? So we did. I went up there and preached. I took the check. Didn't tell the pastor I was giving it. Didn't make a big to-do. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I didn't tell him. I just put it in the offering, just like everybody else. I'm sure they noticed. And God's my witness. My wife can be a witness to this. Two checks in about 2 weeks, I think it was, about 2 weeks' time. Two checks, we were totally out of debt. Amen. But the truth works. I said the truth works. Now, you know, you don't have to hear from God to sell your way out of trouble. You've already heard from God right here in this book. Now, I got a word from God. Listen, that was a specific word from God. That was a specific amount. You know, if he hadn't have said that, I'd have probably just kept doing what we were doing, which was tithing and giving like we always were. But he said a specific amount, and it was a stretch, brother. I'm telling you, it was a flesh ripper. Amen. But I did it, and God, his word works. Hallelujah. Now, Mark chapter 11, are you there? Amen. So what I was going to say is this. Don't get discouraged. If you apply the truth to your situation and it doesn't necessarily change overnight, just keep the truth applied. Amen. You know, sometimes, just think of the natural. Sometimes when you take medicine, you know, if you have to take medicine, it doesn't always just fix it right away. Right? I mean, you know, that's why with the area of healing, people have issues because, you know, if they get prayer for healing and they're not healed immediately, then they let doubt come in. So it didn't change. Well, listen, just keep the truth applied. Amen. Brother Hagin used to say it this way. I like it. He said, keep the switch of faith turned on. Yeah. Yes. And so just keep it applied. Just keep confessing the truth. Just keep speaking the truth. Just keep believing the truth. And that truth will set you free. Jesus said it would. Amen. Hallelujah. How many got saved and not everything in your natural life changed overnight, did it? It took a little while to get that truth worked in there. Amen. See, I thought, you know, because I when I got saved, I thought, you know, because I'd given up PAPS and you know, the drinking and the drugs and all, I thought, well, man, I have arrived. You know, I mean, I've really given up a lot. But then after a while, about two weeks, God started dealing with some things. And I realized I still need some more sanctification. Hallelujah. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So I realized, you know, after a couple weeks or so, maybe three, I realized, you know, there's still some things that I need to quit doing. Well, it took the truth a little while. As a matter of fact, the truth's still working and cleaning me up. How about you? That's right. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. You're not all there yet, are you? If you are, you should be preaching instead of me. Let's hear what you got to say. But I don't think any of us are totally there yet. Amen. Now look at verse 12. This is Jesus and his disciples. It says, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Now, I know what that's like. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily or perhaps he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Now, when you study this out, see, I don't know about fig trees. I've never had a fig tree, but I can read, and I found out that fig trees, if they have leaves, they're supposed to have fruit. The fruit comes before the leaf. And so this tree was telling Jesus, I got some fruit here for you to come and eat. He's hungry. But he goes to it, and notice he didn't find anything on it. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now notice, it makes a point to let us know this. His disciples heard it. Now I believe he did this. Have you ever heard, you know, have you ever been hungry? Have you ever been hangry? Okay, Shelby's angry right now. How many know, Jesus didn't curse the fig tree because he was hangry. All right? He cursed the fig tree, I believe, because, well, you could say, well, because it lied. It said it had fruit and it didn't. That's true. I believe he took this opportunity as a lesson of faith for his disciples, to teach them a lesson about faith. Thought, this would be, that fig tree lied to me, told me it had fruit, it doesn't. This would be a good opportunity to teach these boys how faith works. So, all right, let's go down, let's go to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Not the fruit, but the roots. See, that's one thing you got to understand. See, a lot of times when the word starts working, you don't always notice it right away. It'll hit the roots, then it'll be maybe a little bit before you see the fruit. But it'll show up. Hallelujah. Faith works, amen? I said faith works. Yes. And so when you release your faith, you may not see the fruit wither, the bad fruit, but you got to believe it went to the roots, and you're going to see it. Hallelujah. Amen. My. I think about different people. Man, they had to stand for the healing of things over the years, and how they just stood, and they stood. And but you know what? Really, if you looked in the spirit realm, the roots got hit when they first believed the first day. You remember that story in the Old Testament where Daniel was fasting and praying, and it was 21 days before he got an answer. And when that angel showed up, he said, "I came the first day you were sent, or I came the first day you prayed. I've come for your words. I came the first day. 21 days later, he showed up. First day, he said, I got in warfare." He began to talk about what was going on. And it took him 21 days to get there. But the root of the thing, man, was the first day. Amen? See, I believe you, when you're believing God, you gotta pick a day. This is the day. Amen. This is the day, man. The roots are cursed. Amen. And notice this, verse 21, Peter calling to remember said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. In other words, he's saying faith in God did this. In other words, God backed what he said. And went on to say, for verily I say unto you that whoever, that'd be you and I, right? Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Hallelujah. How does this apply to what we're talking about? Well, how many know the mountain's a fact? The mountain, like here, you know, Jesus is using this, how do I want to say this? He's using this as a type. It could be a type of your problem, your mountain. Amen. And so, the mountain now, the mountain is the, it's a fact. You can't just say there's not a mountain. There's a mountain. But Jesus taught us to apply the truth to the mountain. Hallelujah. And when you apply the truth to the mountain, if he said talk to the mountain and it'll depart, you must have authority over it. So it must mean we have authority over mountains in our life. You know, problems that come, we have authority over them. See, I think this is where the church and a lot of church people get in trouble, is they think God has authority over them. But it's not up to God. It's up to us. You know, God will let you live with whatever you'll put up with. You know that? He'll love you, but he'll let you live with whatever you'll put up with in your life. He'll let you have it. But you can get rid of it once you learn your authority. Are we alive tonight? Yes. It's up to you. You know, it's not up to God. See, that's and I know, really, I realize this is like running over 900 yards of religious teaching right here. And, because people believe, the majority of the church believes that whatever's going on in your life, it's because it's the will of God. But if everything that's going on in your life was the will of God, everything that's going on the earth was the will of God, like one guy said, he sure got it in a mess if God is in control. Now, God is going to be in control, right? But right now we have to understand that he's given us a free will. He's given us authority. Well, in the beginning of Genesis, he told Adam, he said, I'm giving you dominion over the earth. He didn't say, I'm taking dominion over it. He said, I'm giving it to you. You go subdue it. See, the same thing's true in a New Testament believer's life. Once we get born again, we have authority again, but it's our authority. We have to use it, whatever we put up with. That's why, listen, I'm not when I have symptoms in my body, I'm not begging God to heal me. He already has. What I usually do is I start talking to my body. I start talking to that sickness and saying, you get out of here. You don't belong here. In the name of Jesus, leave my body. Does it just automatically just boogie out when you say that? No, I wished it did. Now, there's been times it has, but not all the time. So I've had stuff hang around for a while. I had some I've had some things that I asked it to move in without paying rent. But I don't give up on it. I just, you know, no, you can't stay here. You can't stay here. You say it 24 hours a day? Well, no, I don't say it 24 hours a day, but when I think of it, I do. You know? You can't stay here. You don't belong in my body. Get out of my body. You don't belong here. Amen. Amen. Or, you know, financially. You know, I mean, we all have probably faced financial issues. But I just tell, like, you can't stay here. You don't belong here. So get. You know, when I was growing up a kid, you know, we lived out in the country, you know, on a rock road. And it just seemed like stray dogs showed up a lot, you know. And I think what it was people dump them, you know. They take them out in the country and dump them, you know. And one thing you learn is if you feed them, they're yours. One time we had, I can't remember if it was 18 or 19 cats. You know, just a stray shows up, and next thing you know, you got more showing up. You know, they get the word out, hey, there's good food over here. And we fed them, you know, so yeah, they're going to stay. Now, chickens aren't the same way. I bought chickens. I bought a bunch of chickens when I was a kid. I was about 12 years old. This guy had some chickens. He sold them to me for a quarter. I thought it was a good deal. He said, now, if you feed them, they'll stay. I fed them, and the next thing I know, I heard them back in the field somewhere, and that's the last I saw of them. They never did come out. I don't know who got them. Somebody's eating barbecue chicken that night. A chicken. But have you know, the same thing's true with things that want to hang around your life. If you start petting them, if you start giving them a place, then they'll stay. But you just got to let them know you're not welcome. You can't stay here. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to tell you, but you can't stay. And I'm going to say it until you leave. Right? You can't stay poverty. You can't stay sickness. You can't stay in my body. You can't stay here. I'm not going to let you stay. I've been redeemed from you. I've been delivered from you. Amen. And that's just part of living this victorious life. So I just don't want to fight that hard. Well, you don't have to. You can let an old hog move in your house if you want to. But I'm not going to do it. You're not staying. I used to, you know, sometimes we'd go look at houses and stuff when we didn't have anything in much, you know, money-wise. We never were poor, broke fellows or anything like that. But I can remember we didn't have a whole lot. There were times there was a whole lot more month than there was money. But we always ate. Amen. And compared to places, other countries, we were blessed. But we would go look at these houses on these, what do they call them, where they have them open, pray-to-homes. And I'd look at those, you know, and I'd hear this little voice say to me, well, you'll never live in one of these. You'll never live in one of these. You'll never live in one of these. And at the time, there's no way I could live in one of them. You understand? It wasn't going to happen. Because if I'd have bought one, I'd made zero payments on it before it got repossessed. Because I didn't have it. So I probably could have kept it for 30, 60 days till they kicked me out, you know. And they, you'll never do that. You'll never do that. You know, the devil's a liar. One day I bought one of those homes. You know what? I'll tell you what, but it doesn't come overnight. You just got to keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it. Come on now. You know, and it doesn't have to, it has nothing to do with what people do for you. It has a lot to do with what God does for you. Come on, help me, somebody. Well, if people just help me. Well, people may never help you, but God will sure help you. I found out this about a lot of church people. You start getting blessed and they start getting suspicious. Well, anyway, praise God. Hopefully none of you. I mean, if you get blessed, I'm going to rejoice with you. Are you with me now? You know, so if God wants to bless me bigger and deeper, just shout with me. You know, it's like a friend of mine said in ministry, he said, you know what? He said, sometimes, you know, I'm believing for something and then somebody else gets blessed and they get what I was believing for. He said, I just learned to shout, praise God, they're out of the way. I'm closer up in line here. Amen. I mean, you got Oral Roberts when he's alive. I mean, he's like wanting 27 million. I'm just wanting 2,700. I'm saying, God, get him out of the way so you can help me. I don't need much. So you have to understand that things don't just necessarily move overnight, but when you apply the truth, they start moving. Just like when Jesus cursed that fig tree and applied truth to it, he was the truth. The thing got cursed in the roots, but it didn't show up right away, but later on it showed up. Now, I know this about Jesus. He's more proficient in operating this than I am. And you. But it still works the same. Are you with me? You know, when you know Evansville pretty well, you can buzz around and miss a lot of traffic and get around. And I guarantee you put somebody who's never been here before, and they came from, you know, out in the bush country where Pastor Jerry grew up and Pastor Chuck and me, and you stick them on the east side of Evansville, I guarantee you I'll beat them to the west side. Because they'll go down the Lord's stopway. And I know other ways. See? But in the end, they're going to get to the west side. Why they'd ever want to go there, I don't know. Oh, this is something. I'm teasing Mark and Jackie. I'm teasing. Actually, I have no dog in this fight whatsoever. When I moved here, I found out the east siders and the west siders had a thing going with one another. I was from Newburgh. I didn't care. Okay? Now, I have to admit, I am on the east side as far east as you can get. You can see the Warrior County line from my house. So I am an east sider now, but I have no dog in this fight. But you get what I'm saying. Spiritually, it's the same way. You may have somebody that's more proficient, and maybe they can receive things faster, but you're still going to get there. It may take a little longer, but you're going to get there. Hallelujah. I hope that blesses you and helps you. It helps me, you know. It helps me not to get discouraged, you know, because sometimes I think, oh, man, they're a lot better at this than I am. Well, maybe so, but we're still going to get to the same place. So Jesus said, look, he said, just apply the truth to the mountain and don't doubt, and that thing will depart. Amen. Hallelujah. See, God expects us to operate by his truth. He expects us to apply truth to the facts of life. Think about when the children of Israel, and we've talked about this over and over and over again, but it is a great lesson of faith. Think about when the children of Israel was going into the promised land the first time, you know, when they sent the spies in, you know, they had the 12 spies they sent in. And when they went over there, you know, God had already told them what the land was like. He told them it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a land of abundance, you know. It's a land that drinks water from the rains of heaven. And, you know, it's a good land. And he was telling them all about the land, you know. But he didn't tell them about the giants. He didn't mention that. Because in his mind, it didn't matter. And so they go over there, you know, Moses sends them in to spy out the land, the Bible said, and they go in there to check out the land. You know, they're not supposed to be going in there to see whether they can do it or not. They should maybe be going in there to see the best way to approach this, the best avenue, the best city to conquer first, or just come back with a really good report, like, let's go, it's good. Well, two of them came back with that, right? Two of them came back. They didn't talk about the giants. They said, man, it's a good land. Let's go. But 10 talked about the giants. 10, now listen, 10 of them wouldn't apply the truth of what God said to the facts they saw. Two of them immediately saw, you know, they saw the same giants. They saw the same thing. So two of them just like immediately just took the facts that God, or the truth that God had given, and applied it to the facts. And said, the facts don't matter. We got truth here. Who cares about facts when you got truth? Let's go right now. We can do it. We're well able. Hallelujah. Peter did the same thing, didn't he? Think about walking on the water, you know. I mean, when he gets out of the boat, I mean, listen. Nobody walks on water unless they're applying the truth to the facts. Because the facts are, if you get out of the boat and you step on water, you sink. I'm always amused by it. It says, and beginning to sink. I've never began to sink. You step off a pool, you don't like, oh, hey, I'm beginning to sink, everybody. No, you're gone. But see, his faith, the part of, he was of little faith. Jesus said, why did you doubt? You know, you have little faith, you know, where's your faith? You know, so he had a little faith, but yet, when he got out of the boat, he's applying the truth to the facts. The facts are, you can't walk on water. That's a fact. I said, that's a fact. The truth is, if Jesus says you can, you can. That's the truth. If he says you can, you can. I mean, if I'm on top of this building and Jesus appears out there in midair and says, come to me, guess what? I can do it. If he doesn't say it, pick me up off the sidewalk, please. Pray for me. Because I'm going to need some help. Because I need truth to overcome facts. And so Peter, he starts out right. I mean, you know, he's walking on the truth, you know. But then all of a sudden he applies facts to the truth. Do you follow that? He started out applying truth to the facts. But when he got out there and saw the facts, he started applying facts to the truth. He was already doing it. But once you change, you're sunk. You got to let the truth be your guidance. Amen. Now, let's go. We got a little time here. I said I wasn't going to go long, but maybe I wasn't. I just promise you. Let's go to James chapter 1. Go there. James chapter 1. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to learn now, you know, if you're going to live your Christianity, now hear what I say. If you're going to live your faith life and your Christianity where the world and your friends accept you, you're not going to live in the supernatural. Because the things of the Spirit are foolishness to those that don't know it. So if you're all concerned about what your neighbor thinks about your faith walk, you forget it. Because he doesn't know what, you know. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go around telling everything. Have a little smarts with you. Are you with me now? Don't just go around and tell everybody what you're doing. But don't be ashamed of it either. And don't let their naturalness, you know what I'm saying? Amen. Get off on you. I mean, listen. We told you when this coronavirus thing broke out, you know, use some common sense. I mean, don't tempt the Lord that God, you know. Use some common sense. But don't get in fear. I mean, don't be like some people, you know, they're just, you know, like the lady that, bless her heart. It's like I told you, a lady backed into my truck. I mean, come on, you better have a good reason. You're going to do that. I saw it coming. I hollered at her in a nice way. Whoa, 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 bam. And when she got, bless her heart, she was just all freaked. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm just so stressed out, so upset or something about this virus thing. I mean, Phyllis's thought, so what are you doing out in public then? You didn't have to go to the Chinese restaurant. Anyway, bless her heart. But, you know, see, you can let that stuff get off on you. You know what I'm saying? And you watch the news media 10 hours a day, I guarantee you it's going to get off on you. Because, you know, if they don't sensationalize it, they don't have any story. They can't just tell the bold truth because it's not as exciting sometimes. I don't know if I should say this now. I mean, you think our president's the devil himself, according to them. I mean, and they're that way with a lot of people, you know. Well, I've said before, you know, if our president walked on water, the headlines tomorrow is Trump can't swim. You know, so, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm being bold tonight, but you can't listen to them yahoos and get your wisdom and information. I mean, all they got is criticism. Hallelujah. So don't go there. And, you know, all the things, you know, with like the coronavirus thing and all the, you know, how devastating. Well, it was bad. There's no doubt about it. I'm not belittling. Well, I'm just saying, look, you can't feed off that all the time and walk in faith. Hallelujah. You got to go to the Word of God. Find out what God says about it. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. And stand on that. Amen. All right, you find James? All right, James chapter 1, let's go there. Verse 25, excuse me, let's go up to verse 22. James 1, 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now notice this, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now what's the difference here? What's he talking about here? Well, see, there are people that they apply the truth. See, we're talking about applying truth to facts. But the deception is a lot of people, and I see this, and it's easy to fall into this. I'm sure I've fallen into it myself at times. There's a lot of people think because they know what the Word says, they're covered. But you have to actually do it. See, there's full gospel Pentecostal denominations that believe in the gifts of the Spirit, believe in divine healing, but never practice it. See, what's the problem here? Well, they're deceived. They're self-deluded, deceived. They think because they believe it that it's working. But the truth is, if you don't do it, it's not working. You're deceived thinking I'm okay because I know what it says. There's a deception there. I've seen this over the years. I've fallen into it, you know. Well, you know. You know, the Bible says, what things serve you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Doesn't it say that? Right. I remember one time, I remember where I was at. You know, sometimes when the Lord speaks to you and it's real strong, you know, sometimes when they say he speaks to you, you know, you hear it inside of you. It's like a witness of the Spirit. But this was a real strong speaking. It wasn't audible, but I mean, it was just like it rocked me because I was thanking God for something. Lord, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you. And all of a sudden, I was walking up my stairs at my house. All of a sudden, I heard this blast back to me. You haven't even asked me for it. I thought, huh, why didn't I think of that? Really? And so I went upstairs and asked him for it and got it. But he would just tell me, you haven't even applied the word here, son. The Bible says ask. You didn't even ask. Come on. Amen. So, be doers. Notice this. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or literally a mirror. He beholds himself, goes his way, straightway forgets what manner he was. In other words, you look in the mirror, but then you maybe have a mole on one side of your face, but you forget which side it's on. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues there, and he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Everybody say work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So where's the blessing come from? Well, it comes from doing it. You know, as we close out, I remember what the Bible said, Romans 4:17. Anybody remember that verse? Romans 4:17, it's a popular verse. We've used it a lot. It says that God calls those things which be not as though they were. What's that mean? Well, I mean, if God calls something, that's what it is. You know, and it's particularly talking about in passage there in Romans chapter 4. It's talking about God telling Abraham he's the father of a multitude through Sarah when she's barren. And he tells him, you're a father of a multitude. Now, when God said he was a father of a multitude, was he physically a father of a multitude? No. Was God lying? No, God can't lie. But yet, he tells a man that doesn't have a child, you're the father of a multitude. Change your name from Abram to Abraham, father of a multitude. Well, now what's that all about? Well, God's listened to my message, and he's learned to apply truth to facts. How many know that was some not so good humor? How many know I've read his book and found out he applies truth to facts? That's the way that goes down, by the way, anyway. Just a little joke there, bad one. But anyway, how many know, understand God, that's the way he operates. He changes facts with his truth. I like the New King James there, where the King James says he calls those things that be not as though they were. When you look it up in the Greek, it supports this. He calls those things that do not exist as though they did exist. See? Even though it doesn't exist, God calls it like it does exist. Because if he says it exists, it's the truth. Amen? Amen. See, that's what Paul said basically to the Corinthian church. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. I think one of the best definitions I've heard of temporary there is subject to change. Those things which you see, they're all subject to change. What can change them? The eternal things. The Word of God, the truth. Think about your own life as we close out tonight. If you're like me, and I believe everybody that's here tonight, I know you, I believe you are, when you got born again, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, all of a sudden truth started changing things in your life. You're no longer who you were that many years ago. I was born again over 30, almost 40 years ago, about 30, I think it was 38, it was 81, whatever that works out to. That'll be 39 years this year, won't it? That many years ago, well, December would be 39 years. So that many years ago, if you would have went back 39 years and 6 months, my life looked a whole lot different than what it does today. Amen. It's not through my own power. It had to be through the power of God. Hallelujah. Well, truth began to change the facts in my life. It was a fact, man. It was a fact. All right, I'll close with this, and this will be it tonight. The weekend I got saved, from Friday night to Sunday night, I was totally different from Friday night to Sunday night. It was the truth. Friday night, I couldn't even get up the steps in my house without crawling up them. I had to crawl up them. I was that messed up that night. I wasn't driving. Thank God somebody drove me home. I got out of their vehicle, was going to walk up and go to the front door, slammed into their vehicle, and crawled up the steps. They asked, well, I'll help you get in. I said, no, you won't. I was too proud to let you do that. I crawled up the steps, got in. But on Sunday night, I went up those same steps, and I had a glow on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened? Well, I got a hold of some truth. You may not believe this, but I'm going to tell you, I saw what I saw that night when I got home. When I got home, I went back to my bedroom to go to bed, and it was already kind of late time I got home because, you know, church went a while, and it was a little late time I got home, and I'd gotten born again that night, and so I come home. Now, you understand, I don't know anything about demons. I've never read Brother Hagin's books. I don't know who Brother Hagin is. I don't know who any of these preachers I end up knowing are coming to know their ministries. I don't know any of them. I don't know them. I'm just saying that so you understand. I'm not charismatically hallucinating. But when I came into my bedroom and sat down on my bed, I thought, man, have I got peace. I looked up at my window and this imp-looking creature went out the window. I saw it just as plain as I see you. Now, you understand, I'm a few hours old in Jesus Christ, an hour and a half maybe, maybe an hour old in Jesus. I don't know what happened there. I don't know what happened. I just know I saw something go out my window. I mean, that's just the way I felt. Doink. That was weird. Later on, as I began to study, I read some of Brother Hagin's book and found out what it was. It was a demon. Well, what happened? Well, when, evidently he's cohabiting with me in that room, you know. And when I walked in there, he's like, I'm gone. Something happened here. What happened? Truth got applied to facts. He knew, man, he's not hanging around me any longer. I'm going to find another buddy. Now, you may not believe that. That's okay. I know. I saw it. I saw it happen. Where'd he go? I don't know. Probably to mess with somebody else, but not me. I was changed. Truth. And so as things went along, things began to change. Why, the truth, man. The truth. I'm telling you, man, I was sick all the time. I got the flu twice a year, three times a year, all that. Matter of fact, I had a blood disease. I'd go get shots for a while every week to try to get rid of this thing. And I'd take a weekly shot. And I've got scars on my body from that I could show you. You know, most of them, now that I'm getting old, the skin's kind of sagging over them. But anyway, don't look at me that way. Your day's coming, honey. Amen. They're starting to disappear now. Jesus tarries. Amen. I remember Brother Hagin, I don't know if I should say this. He said, you know, you can get your face, you know, tucked and all. He said, but if you want to know how old a woman is, just look at her hands. Oh, well. I just broke a cardinal rule. You never talk about age and woman and never use large and woman in the same sentence. But my point, listen, I'm preaching here. I got a point. I had all that. But you know what? When I started applying the truth of God's healing power to my life and began feeding on it and reading books and feeding on the scriptures and listening to people preach, all of a sudden, I haven't had the flu in years. Amen. I can't even remember the last time I had it. I got it twice a year. Let's get off work time. Hallelujah. Hard price to pay, but at least you didn't have to go to work. I don't know what happened, but God's truth did it. When I say I don't know what happened, I mean I know what happened, but it was the truth of God that did it. It just went to work in my life. I began to believe, and it began to change the facts. Hallelujah. And that blood disease I'd had since I was 12 years old, you know, and I could always tell when it was getting ready to act up. I could feel it. I could feel it working in my body, and I could tell it's getting ready to act up. It's getting ready to manifest itself. But after I got born again, found out about healing, I never had another issue and haven't had since. And that's been almost 39 years. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.